Good morning. Let us please join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We certainly welcome you here at Main Street and want you to feel welcomed. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we would like for you to give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew so that we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. And if you would now please pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. And at this time, Lee Robert, our congregational nurse, has a few words she would like to say to you.
Good morning. This Friday will be Greenwood's Relay for Life at the YMCA track. Greenwood's Relay for Life program has turned out to be the second largest in South Carolina, second only to the one that they have in Spartanburg. So I think this speaks very highly of Greenwood. I know many of you in the congregation are participating in teams through your work or through schools or through other civic organizations. Main Street does not have a team per se, but that will not keep us from making contributions to the American Cancer Society. The funds that you give for Relay for Life will go to research, to assistance for families, and to try to find a cure for cancer, which ranks in the top five of diseases that kill both males and females. What I'd like for you to do right now, we don't have a specific form that you can fill out, but you do have envelopes in the pews in front of you. Any donations that you would like to make, we ask you to go on and pull the money out of your billfold or your pocketbook or write a check right now. Place it in an envelope and write Relay for Life on the front of it. You may make out your checks to the American Cancer Society, and we will make sure and get these to the Relay for Life team here in Greenwood. If any of you have any questions, please feel free to contact me, or if you would like to just go and be an observer for the Survivor Walk, which will occur at 7 o'clock on Friday. It is quite a moving time to see all of the cancer survivors in Greenwood County make the lap around the track at the Y. Hope to see you all there. Thank you.
And this evening at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall here at Main Street, we will have our annual talent show and dessert auction. I've already seen some of the desserts coming in, and they look absolutely wonderful. You will not want to miss a surprise performance by the Drakettes. So make plans to be here this evening at 6:30 for the talent show and dessert auction, which is being sponsored by the youth of our church. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Would you please stand and join with me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? Let us who are lame spring up and dance.
Let us who are blind.
Let us who are deaf hear and rejoice.
Let us who are mute shout.
Our God will not be left without a faithful witness.
Seated. Join me in our invocation. We gather as your people to worship you, O God. Call our wandering minds to think your thoughts. Draw our divided loyalties to hear your call as Lord. lift our hearts in true praise to you, our Savior and Deliverer, our Sustainer and Comforter, our Lord and our God. Then fill us with such love that everyone we meet will know assuredly that we are Christ's disciples. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I have some celebrations to announce. I know that we have many birthdays, but two I've especially been asked to announce, and one is Linda Bell's. She's celebrating the third anniversary of her 65th birthday. And Wygenia Moore, who I do not have permission to name a number, but we are celebrating her birthday as well. As far as concerns, we continue to be in prayer for not only those we have listed here, but for Miriam Aylwine as she is recovering, for Ann Drake as she is recovering, Jim Kelly, Goldie Davis as moved to Emerald Gardens, for Eleanor Jenkins with some health concerns, for Shorty Callison, who has ongoing health concerns, and Carol Scurry as well. We pray for Karen Dent and her continuing treatments, for Gail Bagley, the sister-in-law of Bill White, our superintendent. And I want to also lift up the Salkehatchee camp. It is growing. We do want to do 6 homes here in Greenwood in July. I think we have approaching 20 registered so far. And we want you to continue to be in prayer that those folks who haven't registered yet will just get on the stick and register so we can have a big camp. Also, our effort to gather the Christian leadership of the many different denominations in Greenwood to have a sort of a symposium, a summit meeting on the drug problem in Greenwood, that's bearing some fruit. We have about 10 or 12 pastors from different denominations who have said, yes, I'd like to meet, as well as the sheriff, as well as the mayor. And I think Main Street will host that meeting in the next few weeks as soon as we can schedule it. Be in prayer for that meeting and for whatever good fruit and help to families we can bring about through that. Let us lift our prayers up before God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we reverence your word. We rejoice in love, forgiveness, and grace through the gospel. But when you command us to love, we wonder. We will need your help. We spend time and energy sometimes justifying our grudges, adding up reasons for our dislikes, and even attempting to legitimate our hate. Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting your basic teaching of love God and love neighbor and love self, and the radical call to love enemy as well. Too often we feel comfortable showing our worst side and our worst temperament to those closest to us. Help us, Lord. Help us love not just in public when we are dressed nice and people are watching. Help us love at home, even when bills are piling up, even when frustrations and disagreements shadow us. Help us be patient with our spouses and children as our nearest neighbors. Just as patient as you are patient with us. And Lord, we pray for our church, for God's guidance, for Main Street as it goes through staff changes. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. We pray for all those who are caught up in difficulty, caught up in the chaos of war and want and chaos and threat of violence and hunger and need. And now, Lord, we do lift up our private prayers, our concerns that we lift up only before you, our confessions, our thanksgivings. We, in this moment of silence, pray our private prayers to you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We have now our children's time with Kathy Kelly. I invite the children to come forward.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Are we doing okay? Having a good morning? Did anybody bring money down for the collection plate? I see Drew's granddaddy's bringing the collection plate. You have money? Today we're going to talk about love. Love is a word that we hear a lot about around Valentine's Day and around some other special days. But today our scripture that's going to be read in just a little bit talks about how Jesus told his disciples that they were to love others like he had loved them. That they were to follow Jesus' example. So that means that it's very easy to love someone who's nice to you, right? Is it nice? Is it easy to love somebody who's going to come up and give you a hug or a pat? Is it easy to love somebody in your family that lives in your house? Is it easy to love that person that sits next to you that takes your pencil at school? Is it easy to love that person? It's not easy to love that person. What about somebody that might pick on you? Is that easy to love that person? No. Is it easy to love someone who calls you names? It's not very easy, is it? But Jesus calls us to love even those people. He loved all of those people who wanted to crucify him. And even as he was being crucified, he prayed that those people that were so mean to him would be forgiven because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that they were to be acting Christ-like. So as you go out from today and as you finish up school and as you start summer activities, remember that Jesus wants us to love everybody and to reach out to everybody in love, whether they are mean to you or nice to you, whether they take your pencil or not, or whether they call you names, whether they live in your neighborhood. But he calls us to love everybody. Can you say a prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to teach us about love. In Jesus' name, amen.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hill.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
No more crying there. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
I really like that. I just wonder if 40 years ago that would have gone over at Main Street. Fred would know. It reminds me of when I was an associate at a church about this size in Charleston, Grace, on Sam Rittenberg years ago, and there was a man who came for a while, almost became a member, and he would do an amen from time to time. He would clap his hands from time to time, and an usher told him, "We don't do that here. We don't do that here." And the man said, "But I'm getting the Spirit." And he said, "You can get the Spirit, but you cannot get it here." I want us to feel like we can get the Spirit here. And before we pass the peace, I want to tell you, please put in your mind and on your calendar for this afternoon, 6:30, Fellowship Hall, the Youth Talent Show. There is adult talent there. There is youth talent there. There'll be wonderful desserts there. Don't miss it. You will regret it if you miss it. It's going to be a wonderful event. Let us pass the peace.
Our scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament comes from Psalm 48. How great is the Lord, and how much we should praise him in the city of our God, which is on his holy mountain. It is magnificent in elevation. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great King. God himself is in Jerusalem towers. He reveals himself as her defender. The kings of the earth joined forces and advanced against the city, but when they saw it, they were stunned. They were terrified and ran away. They were gripped with terror like a woman writhing in the pain of childbirth, or like the mighty ships of Tarshish being shattered by a powerful east wind. We had heard of the city's glory, and now we have seen it ourselves, the city of the Lord Almighty. It is the city of our God. He will make it safe forever. O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let the towns of Judah be glad, for your judgments are just. Go inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour all the citadels, for you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide until we die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading comes from Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life without charge." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before we do continue our worship through the giving of our offerings, I want to lift up before you. We did announce a few weeks back that we had in July a balloon payment on the renovations and the new building. And against that $360,000, we now have on hand $116,663. Well, anyway, about $117,000. So we are making progress. I want you to know that we are making progress against that balloon payment due in July. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. We pray that you bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. God's word from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when I go with a family to the hospital to be with them, and I'm there when the doctor comes out, very often a doctor or a surgeon will talk very quickly and the family will nod their heads like this, and then the doctor looks at his or her beeper and asks any questions as they turn to leave. And only then the family will turn to me and say, "What'd they say? What was that?" So I try to listen very carefully. And sometimes people don't speak very clearly, but other times we just don't listen very well. An older woman And I have a woman in this congregation who would fit the story, but I won't say. But an older woman with a mind of her own returned to her two-story home after major surgery. And among other things, the doctor instructed her not to go up and down the stairs until he saw her again. Well, a week later, the doctor examined her and told her, "Okay, now you can safely go up and down the stairs." And the lady said, "Thank God, I was getting tired of climbing up and down that drain pipe." Sometimes people don't listen very well. The woman's response is similar to how many of us respond to Jesus' teachings, then and now. I mean, think about it. Jesus told plainly the rich young ruler, you know, the one who asked the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he named a few commandments. And he was told by Jesus, "You got it mostly right. But for you," to him, Jesus said, "you must go and sell what you have and give your money to the poor." Apparently, his money was an idol. It stood in the way of him following Jesus. And Jesus gave that clear commandment of what to do. His question was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is an important issue, but he sadly walked away. He couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Another man, seeking to get right with God with as little effort as possible, was told to love his neighbor. He said, "Fine, but first define for me exactly who my neighbor is and who my neighbor is not." To him, Jesus told the Good Samaritan story. We come to church and we hear Jesus' commands and we look for loopholes. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment." He said, "You must love one another just as I have loved you. You also must love one another. By this love," three times he said it so far, "you have for one another, by this love, everybody who sees it will know that you are my disciples." Now, sermons in a lot of pulpits and on a lot of Sundays, sometimes even the one that I'm behind, are vague. And they are thick with theological jargon. And there can be a reason for that. Because you feel like you're getting your money's worth. Because whatever the preacher said, it sounds erudite, it sounds well-researched. And because it is so complex and vague, you feel free to interpret it any way you like or to ignore it completely. So everybody leaves happy, if not changed or challenged. It reminds me of that question that reporters ask when they run out of meaningful questions. You know the one. If you were stranded on a desert island and you could take only two recordings of music, or sometimes books, but music, what would it be? I thought about that. For me, it would be the Beatles' greatest hits because that reminds me of my childhood. And I would also take a collection of Miles Davis because I know I am supposed to be able to appreciate his jazz genius. And I try, and maybe with time on an island alone, I would finally get it. If someone wanted to take one sermon, if they did, on a desert island, it might be this one. About this text. It underlines the ancient teachings of the Ten Commandments. It really does. It's not hard to understand. Half of the commandments have to do with loving God. The other have to do with loving your neighbor. It is not hard to understand. And the Apostle Paul in Romans explicitly and strongly said it in Romans 13. He said to owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. That's a heavy statement. As a former rabbi, Paul was very interested in fulfilling the law. And he said, he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Forget memorization. Very few Americans, even church members, can name all the Ten Commandments anyway. And that's the basis of the law. But Romans 13:9, the next verse, it said, the commandments, and he starts naming them, you shall not commit adultery, kill, not steal, not covet, and you know the rest. Paul says, and understand this, he says, any other commandment, all these are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Next verse. He said, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, and when a rabbi says therefore, he means equal sign. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. He's saying that's what God intended from the very beginning, for us to love God and to love each other. And Jesus added, as we love ourselves. If you're going to take one idea, one sermon, one scripture text to a desert island, I hope this might be it. Jesus underlined the point in red. Jesus said, not only does love fulfill the commandments, it is a commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now here comes the theology. Exactly how did Jesus love us? What are we commanded to do? Well, it has nothing to do with feelings. It has absolutely nothing to do with feelings. Jesus commanded nothing about Valentine hearts and warm fuzzies. He commanded love as an assignment, as a mission, as a verb, as something you do whether you feel like it or not. Not in your spare time, but all the time, even if it costs you something. And if it is love, as Jesus loved, you can be sure that it will cost you something. This is not the echo of familiar songs of love from your childhood that you may associate with simpler times and naive sentiment. This is sort of, I associate it with the jazz assignment of love among the chaos of life, where you can't always pick up the tune or the melody. Love for complex times often has no discernible melody, only a note that you recognize every now and then. But still you know it's important, and it's love. And it's not friends or family or career advancement or politics or the economy that is ultimately moving towards some great theme. It's not all of these things that we pay more attention to. It is love that is the great theme of our life, the great theme of Scripture. Love even amongst the chaos of our lives. Love. Just do it. Jesus commanded it. Paul said it fulfills all the commandments we have forgotten or perhaps never knew. It is what God had in mind from the beginning. It is what I believe God will ask you about at the end. Do you love me? Do you understand you are forgiven and can love yourself? And final bonus question, did you fulfill my commandment to love others? In the review of your life as it plays out, and the answer is obvious to God, it may become obvious to you. Did I love God? Did I love others? Did I understand that I was forgiven and can love myself? That this is the one sermon that I think we all should understand and take to heart. You have heard, you've heard this story I'm about to tell before. I know that you've heard it. You've heard it from me. You're going to hear it again. One more. It's just so good, I think. It's about a psychology professor who had no children of his own, but whenever he saw a parent correcting their child or scolding their child for wrongdoing, he would say, no, friend, that's not the way to do it. You should love your boy. Don't punish him. You should love the girl. Don't punish her. Well, one hot summer afternoon, the professor was doing a little patching in the concrete in his driveway, and he was tired and he was sweaty after hours and hours of work, but he finally got it all evened out and all the marks gone. It was smooth. And just then, out of the corner of his eye, he saw a mischievous little 8-year-old boy putting his handprints in the fresh cement. Well, he rushed over there and he grabbed the boy and started shaking him and yelling at him. And a neighbor leaned out the window and he said, watch it, professor. Don't you remember? You must love that child. And the professor yelled back furiously, I do love him in the abstract, but not in the concrete. You need not be a Bible scholar to understand that. All the law and all the prophets boil down to love God completely and love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Not abstractly, not theoretically, but concretely, as a verb. It's the law and the prophets. It's all the Bible boiled down and distilled into an elixir that applies and heals every relationship, every heart, and it is necessary. Of Christians, it is required. But how can I possibly love wholeheartedly God and my neighbor? And besides, if you've lived long enough, you know that love hurts. Love is fraught with rejection and betrayal and danger. What kind of love did Jesus live? The kind that shows deep compassion and acts on it. Does something about it. Cost. It cost money. It cost time. It cost effort. It cost talent. It cost you your very life. The deeper you love, the more often you will wince at the pain of others. Turn away when they are embarrassed. Cry for their loss and grief. God so loved the world that He felt the weight of our sin, our judgment on the cross. And what is the cross, if not the greatest love and the deepest empathy? C.S. Lewis, I believe this is a Lewis quote, said it best. He said, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up, safe, in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. You can avoid the pain of love. I've met many people through the years who bragged, 'I cry for no one, I care for no one, I live for myself.' I met a young man once when I did prison ministry years ago, and he had right above each knuckle tattooed, 'I walk alone.' And I knew that he meant to appear tough and untouchable, but I also knew that I was looking at a coward. I was looking at a coward. And sometimes we're all that kind of coward. Love is not naive children's songs and Valentines. Love is a commandment for all who want to know God and know life as God intended and know who Jesus was. Love as Jesus loved is not natural. It is supernatural. And it is possible only when we pray, 'Lord, I don't want to get involved. Lord, I want to pass by on the other side. Lord, I want to give up on them. Lord, call somebody else to do it. But if it be thy will, then you're going to have to give me the strength to love this unlovely soul standing right in front of me, because on my own, I don't want to." And that's what I mean by supernatural. God has to help us love some people. Perhaps truly love at all. It's amazing how many Christians have been in church all their lives and they still miss the gospel. So many folks still live in the Old Testament bound by legalisms and restricted by the thou shalt nots. And they feel, if I don't do that and I don't do that and I don't do that, then I'm a Christian. What about the thou shalts? The commandment Jesus gave, a new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is our witness. This is the light that we are to shine in the darkness of this world. This is our calling. To love everybody. even our enemies. Nothing could be clearer from the Gospels than that. The Samaritans were hated in Jesus' day, and Jesus made the Samaritan good in the story to love everyone. The adulterers were stoned by Jewish law. Jesus rescued and forgave the woman caught in the act. Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector Jesus loved, went home with him, ate with him, forgave him. The repentant thief dying on the cross, he forgave. The ones who nailed him on the cross, he forgave. He forgave Peter, who denied him three times. In fact, he made him leader of the apostles. Jesus' love cut through all the chaos as the one consistent melody of his message. In all the human imperfection he encountered, he loved courageously and even unto death. No general, hazy goodwill sort of love, but specific, down in the trenches, micromanaged kind of love. Love whether you feel like it or not. Can you love like that on your own? No, you can't. Only God can love like that, and only people who have God's promised Spirit dwelling within can echo God's love out to others. But I do think that we can impair and we can ignore God's Spirit and ignore people around us, and we can hate in spite of everything that God has done for us. We can. We can. So love is ultimately a decision. A decision to ask God for the power to love and then actually do it. Do it. Are you running on empty? Are you sneering more than smiling at my message? I've been there. But please take one thing away. You cannot give God's love out of your heart unless you have God's love in your heart. Ask for it. Bask in it. Then do unto others as Jesus has done unto you. Then hang on. Your life will change. Amen.
Thank you. announcements before the benediction. One, please don't forget 6:30 tonight, the talent show. And a public service announcement. Many of you are glad to see Carol Scurry here today, but do not bear hug her. It will hurt her. Don't do that. Receive this blessing, this benediction. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love, the great love of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, of our loving Father, and of the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, in this place, in our hearts, within us and between us. Lord, you have blessed us. Lead us, guide us, inspire us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.